Hi, it's Michael Senoff at MichaelSenoffHardToFindSeminars.com. This is a special presentation for our Hidden Internet Marketing Asset students. The title of this presentation is called How to Work the Hidden Internet Marketing Asset System Like You've Been Doing It for Years. Private coaching session with David Preston. In this private coaching session, David walks students through the steps of the Hidden Internet Marketing Asset System, answering all of their questions along the way. David highly recommends you run workshops to get clients, and in this audio, you'll hear all the details that go into setting those up, including how to advertise for them and what kind of results you can expect. But David says not to worry if only a handful of people show up. Workshops are not a numbers game. Believe it or not, only about 7 people showed up to David's first workshop, and it was being put on for free. Even with such poor showing, he still made $15,000 on the back end. Now he's making about $50,000 from his workshops, and in this two-part training session, you'll hear how he does that. This is part one. You're giving your clients a system, not a website. David says he once had a business owner gasp at the high price tag for his services, but he didn't care. He knew the guy would pay it. Why? Because owners are getting more than a site. They're getting an alternative to advertising that keeps on giving. They're getting a list building, database management, and email promotion. They're getting a reason to have a website in the first place. And because you're the one showing them how all this crazy marketing stuff works, you'll also be the only one they come to when they need help with it all. And they will usually need help with it all. And in part one, you'll hear how to make sure owners understand what you're giving them and all the benefits they'll be getting. You'll also hear what percentage of people at a workshop usually go for the back end and why you shouldn't worry if at first it doesn't seem like anyone. How David uses church radio to promote his workshops and businesses for free. If you do need to follow up with prospects after a workshop, exactly what to say to them to close the deal. How to find business license information online and what to do with it. How to work with IT guys so you're not stepping on their toes when you change around their website. Simple ways to prove to clients that your email promotions are working. A quick trick to make even more money with a client's list and also introduce yourself to a host of potential new clients.
So what type of questions do y'all have while we're on here? And don't be afraid to ask questions because that's why we're here.
You know, probably one of the biggest constraints for me doing something like this was, you know, how much to charge. And in addition to that, how to present these different modules when you start actually teaching at a workshop. It's all very interesting, Dave.
In answer to those questions, those are some good questions, too. In the material itself, there's a lot of guidelines for that. But I always tell everybody, if you're going to do it yourself, you know, self-advertising type stuff, if you're going to do that yourself without involving anybody else, put an ad in the paper or even get on a radio show as a guest or that type thing, then you can pretty much charge whatever you want. Normally, if I'm doing it myself, I'll only charge them about $100. I charge them about $97 per seat just to fill the place, and that fills it pretty quick. It's enough to pay for the room, pay for the refreshments, and you can still walk away with $700 or $800 in your pocket. But what I'm after, of course, is the back end. You know, I want the clients from that workshop. So as long as I can cover my expenses on the front, then I'm fine with everything else. The first workshop I ever taught was totally free, and we were really pushed against it right then. And my wife had a cow whenever I told her that, but she said, oh, that's awesome. You're teaching a workshop. You're getting into all that kind of stuff. That's good. And then I said, yeah, this first one's going to be free. And she was like, what? That's not a good conversation, but it worked out really, really well. Before that week with that, I had picked up almost $15,000 worth of business. So the whole premise behind these workshops, is that you are there to actually teach them, you know, to really show them step-by-step what they need to be doing.
You mentioned the Rotary Clubs are better than, like, even the Chamber of Commerce. Is that right?
It's really all across the board. In some areas, the Rotary Clubs are really, let me think of a proper way to say this, old boy network, I guess, is the easiest way. And a lot of times, you're kind of viewed as an interloper or whatever if you try to horn in on their business. But on the flip side, some of the Rotary Clubs, fortunately the one here, is really open to anything that's going to help their members. And that's the basic premise that I come across at. It's a fundraising tool.
What kind of Rotary Club do you think of giving a free one would be better to approach them that way?
You could. I would try to get an appointment with them and just sit down with them and explain what you're doing as far as a charity funding vehicle or a nonprofit organization vehicle, because that gets their attention. And I always tell them, too, it beats washing cars for $5 a piece. If you're going to raise funding, you know, why not do it thousands at a time, you know, instead of $5 a pop?
Well, how would that work? They would get the money from the presentation and I would get the back end stuff?
No. How I always do that. And again, Willie's one of my best students. Well, he's the one that has made the most so far. Since June, Willie's generated almost $300,000.
Wow.
Stuff that I told him, and is using neat exact methods that he's done that. His first one was he taught at the Knights of Columbus for his first nonprofit.
Where was this?
In Florida. And he said that he got a really chilly reception at the Kiwanis Club. And I said, me too. I don't know what their deal was. And I've heard that from a couple other guys. I've only known 3 or 4 students that have actually taught at Kiwanis Clubs. They did really, really well. But that gave me the cold shoulder right off the bat when I called them and I said, well, hey.
Have you ever gotten him to Freemason?
No, I haven't. But that would be a very good target, too. I do know of one student that has done that and did really well with that because a lot of those guys, well, most of them, you know, are in business themselves,
right,
which I guess is a big part of being a Freemason. Yeah, and those guys are huge networkers. So, yeah, Willie actually taught one for the Knights of Columbus and then he charged up front and he let them decide partially what it was worth or what their membership could stand, because they know their membership. And it's like that with any nonprofit organization. The last one that I taught was $297 a head. I collected all of the money, and it came right into my PayPal and through a website, and that's in there, that website. You can customize that for anything you want. And then what happens is I had to rent the hall from them up front because they're a nonprofit organization. That's really the only way they could do it and keep it legal. That cost me a whopping $225. So I rented the hall from them up front. And then I actually went to Sam's Club and bought about $180 worth of refreshments, snack trays and sodas and stuff like that. And then after the workshop was over with, we sat down right then, and I went over a CSV file that I had downloaded from PayPal that showed exactly how many people had paid and exactly what PayPal took out and all of that stuff. And then I subtracted the $225 and the $180 because that's expenses, and then I split that with them 50-50. And the last one that I did, we both walked away with a little over $6,300. Not bad. So they were ecstatic, and I was able to either pay them with a check right there on the spot. I brought the checkbook with me, and this is how it works, and this is what's so cool about this. Really love this, is I wrote them a check right there on the spot for a little over $6,300, and in the memo line, I put on their charitable donation. So they kept their nonprofit status, and I get to write it off my taxes 100%. It works. The first year I actually started doing this years and years ago, I had my CPA call me on the phone and said, we've got a big, big problem. And I said, uh-oh. And he said, this has got to be a mistake or something on here. You had a little over $43,000 in charitable donations last year. And I said, no, that's right. Are you kidding me? And I said, no, that's correct. But the neat thing about that last one, too, was before that was over with, it took me 5 weeks just to clean up the clients from the back end. So I wound up making an additional, a little over $52,000 on the back end.
What percentage of participants would you say on average usually go for the back end when you go through it?
It's surprising because at first I thought we'd get absolutely slammed with offers and mobbed and everything else, and that's not really how it worked. What happened was everybody would take my card and they would leave, and the calls just start filtering in. Some of the folks will book you right there on the spot. I've had that happen just about every time. You're going to get at least one person that will book you right there. And after that, the calls just continue to come, and they'll come for days and days. Because the way this workshop is set up, is I drop all kinds of subliminal stuff in there constantly, and you guys, that's part of the package they're loading tomorrow, is you guys get a full transcript, word for word, from an actual workshop that I teach. And it'll tell you, like, slide one, and a few pages later it says slide two, and it breaks it all down. And once you read it, and I apologize that it's going to be a fat read. Once you go through that, you're going to start picking up some of the stuff that I say and I do in these workshops. And for me, I tell them right up front, hey, this is an educational workshop. You're probably looking to get hit with a $20,000 slap in the face at the end of this. You can relax. That's not going to happen.
So the other question is, generally speaking, I mean, geographically speaking, do you think there's going to be different responses? Say, you know, I'm in New York or, you know, Massachusetts or in California, and you're in South Carolina or Willie Crawford in Florida. Is there a difference in the kind of reception we're going to get as we do this?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just all across the board. Well, the toughest part about it is that in the beginning, it's putting the feelers out there and getting the stuff set up. But after you first get rolling with it, it almost takes a life of its own. I've had other organizations that called me just because of word of mouth from the last workshop that I taught and wanted to know if I could show up in their city an hour and a half away to do one for them. So getting started is the toughest part. But after you do start to do the workshops, it really does take on a life of its own. You start getting offers and calls. And I've actually been on a live call-in talk radio station down here several times in several different cities for people calling me trying to get me on there for a business radio show. And I would just answer any of the questions that a small business owner would have. And they could call in and talk to a business consultant during that talk show for free. And a lot of times, if you don't have the answer, you can tell them that that's kind of a long answer and I'd have to get into a lot more specifics with you to actually give you probably the answer that would help you. So if you want to, you can get in touch with me here and I would give my email address out and say, you can email me at that address and I'll get back with you and explain how that works. And send me your phone number, you know, and I'd be more than happy to give you a call and explain how all that works. So that works really well. And you'd be really surprised at the places that would put you on the radio for free. A lot of the little AM stations have tons and tons of business broadcasts. And there are a lot of brick-and-mortar business owners that have their radio station tuned to that station all the time. The first time I ever got featured on a radio station was by a really large church. You know, write that down. That's surprising, huh? They did it because they already had their own TV and radio thing that went out twice a week, and they actually broadcast it for free for a month for the upcoming show, a special Wednesday evening with me, a small business consultant. I know a lot of you members of the congregation own your own business. This would be a rare opportunity for you to get some free help with your business from a real consultant that will help you out right on the air. And that was an overwhelming success. I got calls and emails, and it was just crazy.
Now, when you do presentations, do you collect their contact information and do mailings later, or you don't even bother?
Well, since they're registering through the website, I've already got it, so they've got to put their contact information in there in order to find out where I'm teaching it at.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Right.
Do you follow up with these people that don't take the back-end offers?
No, I don't. That's a good question. Could I do that? Yes, I could. But in my experience, I've never had to because I just honestly did not have time.
Sounds like a nice offer.
Yeah, it's always good if you want to and the calls are not coming in quite like you expected. It's a great thing to just pick up the phone or something and call those business owners, tell them who you are, and of course they know who you are, and you say, I was just wondering if you started to implement that stuff and already started to see the difference. And most of them will say, no, I haven't started that. But whenever you say that, if you've already started to see the difference, then they realize immediately, you know, he is right, I need to do this now. So a lot of times they'll say, no, I haven't done that. And I'll say, well, you need to get that started, man. It'll change your business life, believe me. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're right, I'm sure you're right. And if you get stuck, here's my number, give me a ring, and I'll try to walk you through it if I can. And that's the key, is if you're always trying to help them, and you always come across that way, it puts you in a completely different light. These guys have no problem after the workshop picking up the phone and calling me because they're stuck on paragraph 4 on page 1.
Dave, I'm going to try and do it at the beginning, like the emergency cash system, where I go in or look up some businesses through kind of necessarily the phone book. I know that's there, but I'd like to find out how to get into the business licenses through the court so I can have their names and stuff and kind of start that way as I prepare for my spectacular presentation.
Now, fortunately here, and it's different everywhere, right here in Charleston County, of course, they've got the funding, so all of the court records are right there online. In Google, you can look up your county clerk of court, and it should take you to their page. In some places, it's called a county recorder, and there should be some place on that site that says records or business licenses or that type of thing. A lot of places, like down here, they have a place online that you can actually apply and pay for a business license right there online.
Is there something that I should, like, prerequisite or something that you would recommend that I be prepared for as far as, like, a PayPal merchant account or maybe putting up emails and stuff like that?
Well, one thing I would do with PayPal, of course, everybody knows this, but PayPal can be your best friend or your worst enemy. It just depends, I guess, on your point of view. I had some problems years and years ago with PayPal, and I was kind of against them until a lot of the really big marketers that started joint venturing with me pointed out to me that that's just about all they use, and that's surprising, but it's true. So I told them I had some problems with them in the past, and it was stupid stuff, but they explained to me point blank that as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're never, ever going to have a problem with them, ever. And they said they'll upgrade you, and they know how much money they're making on you at 2.9% of pop. I mean, since then, the only time I ever got flagged was when I had a recent transaction that was over 10 grand that somebody was trying to send to me, and I got an alert from PayPal that said, hey, that's over your limit, over your daily limit. So I wound up calling the guy, and he said, yeah, I got it too. So then we both called PayPal and told them what was going on, and they said, send it to him, you know, 9,000 a day until it's done. And he said, okay. He said, that won't flag the system. They said, no. That was pretty cool. But there's a lesson for you. Don't take over 10 grand in one transaction. But you can actually go into PayPal and do an upgrade if you want to. Just hit the upgrade button that's on the left-hand side when you first log in, and they'll upgrade you from just a regular account, you know, even all the way up to where mine is like a business premier account. But the only way you can get an account like that is through your transaction history, and that's what they look at, and that's all automated. So, I mean, I got an email from them, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago that just said, you've been upgraded. And I said, ah, here we go. Here's the spoof mail. That's what I was thinking. But whenever I opened it, it actually was PayPal. And they said, we reviewed your transaction history. You have over 2,000 verified transactions. So because of your volume, we have upgraded you to Business Premier. And then they told me that I could open a separate personal account if I would want to do that. So I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know you could have two accounts there, but obviously.
Yeah, they usually don't let you.
Yeah, once you make either Premier or Business, either one of us, you're actually allowed to open a separate personal account. And they do have really cool tools in there that will help you out tremendously at tax time. You can go in there and download the reports that will tell you day by day what you brought in, the fees that you paid, any refunds that you've done, your net profit, your projected stuff. It's good.
I was just doing a search for my county or Suffolk County, and what comes up is business certificates with a search, which is great. I just put in Acme, and I get all the information right there. It just comes up.
There you go. That's the way it is here. I hit on business licenses, and I can punch in whatever I want, and then all the ones in that SIC code come up.
Right. Actually, if I maybe just put the letter A, I'll get everything that starts with the letter A.
Yep.
Oh, it says too many records. I guess you got to put a couple.
Pretty cool, though, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, the county recorder's office, we've actually got one student, in of all places, in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's a huge metropolis, huge. They're not online and won't let you access the records online. You have to go down to the county courthouse physically and go through the records. I never in my wildest dreams would have ever thought that in a place as large as Atlanta. But she's doing well with that. She said she'll go down there for about an hour and a half, gather all the information she needs to, and she's done for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just went through my local newspapers, and I wrote down all the businesses that had websites, and that was like, I don't know, 50 or 60 of them. And then I went through and looked at all the websites, and there was about 35 of them that could use the service.
Can you use some help?
Yeah.
That gets kind of sticky. I never, ever insult the programmers, because most of the programmers and the IT guys really don't like me, and that's just their choice because they feel like they're threatened or something, like I'm going to come in and take their job. That's not what I'm after, you know, and I tell them that. If I can get them to get the programmer on the phone, a lot of times I'll talk with them, and we're cool after that. And I just tell them, I said, look, you're really, really good at what you do. I want nothing to do with what you're doing. There's no way in the world I could do what you're doing. And then they go, oh, okay. And they'll say, what I'm actually here for is the marketing aspect of it. So I'm a direct response marketer, and I'm here to help Phillips Shoes out and get their site set up so he can start doing some direct response on the internet and build his business better. But I'll need your help to do that. And if you come across that way, they're your friend for life. But I have looked at some websites that you look at them, and it looks like an email that's just been pasted on the site. That's horrible, and you resist the urge to go, ah! You first look at it.
They're all beautiful. They could just be better, that's all.
Absolutely, but you really don't ever want to step on their toes because that could be their son that did that or their mother's brother's uncle or somebody has done that that's in their family or is a very good friend of theirs. And they did it for them for free, just as a favor, just to get them online. Out of the thousands of businesses that I've seen, that's probably the worst.
So you're saying you really want to target really bad-looking websites because those will be easier.
It really doesn't matter. If it's got an existing site, if you're using the autoresponder method, they can have a really awesome site. And if
right.
It doesn't have a lead capture mechanism, it's game. Those guys that have a really good site have put some money in it. Some of those guys have spent 10 grand, 15 grand on building a really aesthetic site that's really pretty. And it's just like I tell them, instead of being on the super highway, it's actually a billboard on a dirt road that nobody's seeing.
So when you talk to a guy like that, do you find it harder to actually sell them on that? Because they think that the site they already spent 15 grand on it, they really don't need list building.
Yeah, they kind of think that way to a degree. But during a conversation, and this is the key, is while I'm in a conversation with them, I'll bring up stuff like that that sort of opens their eyes to what they don't understand. Because they're just totally ignorant about this kind of stuff. Totally. I wind up explaining that to some of them before it's over with. I said, look, you know, you don't have to feel bad about all of this stuff. I am a marketer. This is what I do. You run this business, and I guarantee you that if I stepped in there to run your business, this place would be bankrupt in a month. And I said, but on the flip side of things, you know this business, but I know marketing. I said, so I'm totally ignorant about your business, and I would assume that you're probably the same way about mine. And that's a very good approach. They understand exactly what you're saying. You're not saying they're stupid. You're just saying they're ignorant. And you're going to run across situations out there that will immediately get these guys on your side. And there's an example of one that I did last Monday where the guy called me up, and he was a referral. And whenever I went out there and talked to him for the free consultation, he was very open and candid with me, which is great. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, anything that was going on there. And he was very open and very candid. And he told me what they were charging him just for servers, $495 a month for hosting.
Wow.
That's prevalent. You'll find that in a lot of different situations. And I just told him point blank. I said, man, is this person hopefully not related to you, correct? Oh, no. And I said, okay. And he said, why would you ask that? And I said, because since we're both being totally honest with each other here, you're being raped. And I said, I could get you a dedicated server that you own for $150 a month. And I said, I pay $25 a month for hosting, and I guarantee you I get a lot more traffic than you. You've got to be kidding me. And I said, no, I'm not joking. So I went online and showed him the hosting service provider I used, and showed him the bandwidth, showed him the traffic. I showed him everything. And he was like, holy smokes. And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's $25 a month? And I said, yeah. He goes, I got to call this guy. And I said, call him right now if you want to. And I said, if you really want to switch, though, I said, I would switch first and then call him. And I said, because he can't hold you hostage. So I called my guy, my tech support guy, and asked him if he could swap that. And he said, absolutely. If I can get into his server, I can take care of it all. And I said, okay. And I said, how much? And he said, I'd swap it all for him for $100. And I said, okay. I said, is that cool with you? And he goes, oh, absolutely. And I said, okay. So we hung the phone up, and I said, email him the passwords and login, and he'll take care of it today. I said, you could just write him a check. I said, if you want to, just pay me, and I'll pay him. I don't care. But you run into situations like that constantly. And the reason is because they just don't know any better. You know, they think it's necessary that the website is going to cost them a fortune, because everybody that comes through their door with a suit and tie on to sell them something for the web, it's expensive. And I go in there business casual. I never ever wear a tie. And the reason I do that is because I put myself on the same level they are. I'm a business owner, just like you. I'm not a salesperson, and I'm here to help you if I can. And if I can't help you, I'll tell you that.
Now, when I start out here, I want to, you know, do the one-on-one thing to learn the business before I try to do any presentations or anything. Is there any types of businesses that you find are more accepting of this program?
I get that question a lot, too. And I actually went and looked through the database of businesses, and I've got everything on there from a little bait and tackle shop out in the middle of nowhere all the way up to Fortune 500 companies. It's all across the board. Some of the easiest ones to talk to you about are hair salons. They're always open, and there's a lot of different things you can do with them.
Yeah, I like that slow day one you mentioned on the Master Seminar. That was awesome.
Yeah, that works. Works really, really well. You know, you get a $3 discount on Wednesdays only, and that now becomes the busiest day of the week. Yeah, and it was totally, totally dead before they met me.
Now, the other thing you mentioned on the seminar was, like, restaurants. You had mentioned something about putting their menu.
A lot of times, I will put their menu as a PDF, and I'll put a coupon on the bottom of it, just a little dotted line, you know, with coupons underneath it. And that's their incentive to getting on that restaurant list, is they can download their menu with the prices and get specials and coupons at the same time. And that's really effective. And then one business owner said that he did really well after that with the list and stuff, but he wanted to know how he could expand his business even more than that. And it was really fortunate because he called me and had that conversation, and he said, so I figured you were the guy to talk to. And I said, sure. I said, have you ever thought about catering? And he goes, I've thought about it, but I really don't know how to get started with that. And I said, well, I'll stop by and enlighten you on that. I'll do a little bit of research and come by and show you how that works or a plan you can implement to start doing that. All it took really was just an email out to the list that he already had that let them know that he would now be doing catering. And bang, he was in business.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
It's amazing how many restaurants don't do what you were just talking about. You know, have a menu, you know, an easy way to get it.
You have to print it out, cut the coupon off, and bring the menu in with you. And the great thing is if you get enough restaurants under your belt, after a few months, you can be like me and eat everywhere for you. That's just a little side benefit.
Is there an easy way to set up like a dummy site of what their site would look like with the opt-in form on it?
That's actually a sample website for a beautician store where they sell, I think it's Merle Morin and stuff like that, cosmetics. She was getting ready to close, and she was referred to me from a hair salon that was a really good friend of hers, and they were in the chamber together, and she told her, you know, girl, you've got to get hooked up with this guy. So she couldn't figure out how to drive more traffic there. She had a website to begin with, but, you know, it was pretty bad. And it was actually a franchise site, you know, which was the worst part. It was not a great site, even being a franchise site, and most of those are. But what we did was build a separate site completely away from that one, and I told her, you've got to have experts here that know how to apply makeup. And she goes, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, do you include that with their purchase or whatever? And she goes, yeah, normally we'll have that. And I said, why don't you have a class for women that want to learn how to apply makeup properly? She goes, oh, man, that's a great idea. And of course, I didn't look at her and say, I don't have any bad ones. But that's what we did. So we set it up for a specific day of the week, and they could opt into that, put it on their business cards, free makeup application class, and that went over. The rest is history. That went over like gangbusters. She'd have 2 or 3 dozen women show up for those makeup classes, and of course, they're walking out of there with no product.
I have a hair salon here that would be great for that, because they're always doing that kind of thing, but I'm not even sure they have a website.
And that's a lot of it, too. Most of them don't. What I did was I changed the hair salon that I get my hair cut at. She's not just a client, but she turned out to be a really good friend of ours, the family and everything. But she wasn't in the beginning. And that happens a lot, too. They're not just your clients, they're your friends, too. And that's a great relationship. But I can go in there and get my hair cut. She cuts my hair. She cuts my whole family's hair for free anytime I come in there. She will not let me pay her. So I come in there anytime I need a haircut and talk to Susie and say, hey, you know, when can I get scheduled? I don't want to interfere with your regular clientele. And she's like, no, you can come in anytime. I'll take you. And what we did for her was put up a little website really similar to that. And then after that, you know, she has a bunch of salon products there. And I asked her how those were selling. And she says, not real good, which most of them don't. So we put a plan in motion to start pushing some of those products. And then I noticed that she was boxing them up one day when I was in there. I said, what are you doing? Shipping them back. And she goes, well, it's an inventory rollover. I ship back a whole bunch of stuff that's been on the shelf for a long time. And they ship me the exact same thing with a better expiration date and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. And I said, are you taking like a total loss on that? She goes, no, but I'm taking a beating on it. And I said, how much of a beating? And she goes, I lose 70% on it. And I said, holy cow. And I said, well, why don't you just do this? I said, why don't you put a notice out to the list that for this week only, you're going to offer them all of those products, buy one, get one free. I said, at least you'd be making 50% on them. Wow, that's a great idea. And there you go. She quit boxing.
Now, you said you set up the website for her?
Mm-hmm.
And how much did you charge for that?
$1,500.
Wow.
You own the domain name, or did she?
She does. I told her I can set it all up for her, but she really needs to set the domain up. I said, you need to own that no matter who's helping you. And she's like, well, how much is that? And I said, about $10. Oh, you're joking me. And I said, no, it's about $10.
How many of the people that your clients opted to own their own list instead of just you managing it under your AWeber account?
Zero.
That's good.
Every business owner there is too busy with other stuff, and they don't want to learn any of this stuff.
Right. They don't have time.
So if you can offer them a totally hands-free solution that's reasonable, and they can see the profit potential in it, then you're done. And this is exactly what I said, and it's what Alan was laughing about on the webinar the other day, was those two words, how much. And that was what Willie laughed about so much. He said, this guy's got people tripping over themselves, you know, to give him a check. And that's because I can look at him and say, look, you know, Gary, I can sit down with you or a very sharp employee that you have, and I always say this, and we can spend a couple of hours, and I can show you how to build your own custom autoresponder and build your database. And How much? And then I take away from them again. A lot of times I'll look at them and say, look, Terry, it's not rocket science. And you go, how much?
Almost the same steps as to for the basic packages that you're offering and for the technical support and setting up websites and stuff.
Yeah, and it basically varies from all over the place. You know, I had one business owner that looked at me, and he was serious, too. He said, holy cow, $1,500. And he said, there's guys that will build a master for me for $200 or $300. And I said, absolutely there are. I said, absolutely there are. I said, and if you want to go with one of them, have at it. And I didn't say nothing else. We just kind of sat there looking at each other for a little bit, and he goes, what's the difference? And the difference is, with my system, you're getting a system, not a site. You know, you're getting emails, you're getting a PDF that they can download that forces them to opt in. You're getting all of my little tips and tricks that will build your list at light speed. And you got me? It's not just a website that's sitting beside that dirt highway. This is a system.
Right.
Do we get all them tips and tricks from you?
Absolutely. I charge anywhere from $1,500, but my lowest price is $500. It's actually $650. And that's $500 to put an opt-in form on their current site and $150 a month list and database maintenance. I'm a very honest, upfront person, so it was really funny on a webinar when somebody said, what exactly do you do for the list maintenance or for the $150 a month? So I told them, I said, not, you know, if you set up an autoresponder in AWeber under their business name, you know, like Philips Shoes, and that's the name of the new autoresponder, then they're very easy to find. And, of course, you can have unlimited autoresponders in there for free. And that's what I do. I just set them all up under AWeber, and if they want me to write their emails for them, I'll charge them $25 a pop, which is a major, major discount, and I will sell them a quarterly package at a time. That's the minimum. Most of them will go annually, believe it or not. It's a one-time fee. So you can set it up that way where you tell them, no, it's not $25 every time an email goes out. No. So you've got to be really, really plain with these folks because they do not understand that. Because they'll say, look, what happened is you write one series of emails that stays in your system permanently. So it's a one-time fee. And those just go out by themselves over and over and over to anybody that comes into your list. And they go, okay, I got you. So if I wanted to do it quarterly, this is what, four of them in a month? And I said, right. So it'd be 400 times three, and I said, right, but that's a one-time fee. I said, now if you want to go annually, it's a huge, huge discount. So annually, if I charge them half price, if they want to pay me all up front, $1,250 an email. So you can charge them whatever they're comfortable with. And then I always make sure and tell them that if you do it quarterly, we're going to have to keep an eye on it because when you get close to about 2.5 months, we're going to have to put the next quarter of the emails in there or you've lost your entire list. Oh, okay, I understand. Can I do that? And I said, absolutely. And I said, but if you have a calendar, let's go write that on your calendar right now, that you need to call David on this day. And then I put underneath it, emails. And I said, that way we'll know where we're at. I said, if you just say, it's on my calendar, I forget what it's about, it just says emails, I got you.
So the reoccurring maintenance fee, that's a beautiful thing. You've been doing it for a while. You must have what?
Yeah, a little over 1,100 at 150 to 250 a month.
Wow.
Depending on your list size.
You know, it's interesting when you look at online marketing and reoccurring continuity memberships. Typically, they're, you know, running out 3 to 6 months and, you know, they drop off. But with this, what do you think? Do people stay on year after year or do they drop off?
Once they're usually in and they start understanding over time, they understand that the only time I'm ever going to call them is if they're making money. Whenever I call them, they love hearing from me because it's an idea that's going to make them money. So I have, so far, a little over 97% retention rate.
Wow, that's great.
Have you ever had anybody drop off and then realize the error of his ways and come back?
Yes. I have one of them that actually was listening to somebody in his family that was very close to him and said, hey, this guy's costing you a lot of money. And I wasn't. What he neglected to explain to her was that I was only taking part of that money as a percentage, and he was making the lion's share of the profit.
Some people don't understand found money, you know?
in another instance, too, I had a fellow that called me that said they were on to him about everything to do with, you know, the cost and factors, and I'm not really sure this is working and that type of thing. So I said, okay. So I said, if you want to find out if email marketing works, I have a very simple way of proving that to you. And I said, let me get in your account, and we'll look and see what we can do here.
What account? His email account?
Yes. I went into AWeber and logged into his email account and flipped down through them all until I found his business and opened it up. And most business owners, small business owners, will do quarterly advertising budgets. That's pretty much the norm. And the reason is because it makes it much easier for their CPA, you know, to keep track of everything. So they come up with quarterly advertising budgets. So they figure out what sales they're going to have over, you know, the next 3 months. And that makes it much easier on us, too. But I can go in there and look and see, just like with him, I said, so your next sale is a week from tomorrow. And then it looks like I've got a broadcast going out for you starting tomorrow, and there's going to be 3 of them total. And he said, okay. And, of course, I didn't tell him that that's all set up automatically, you know, because he's paying me $100 a piece for those. I broadcast email about a sale, and he thinks I keep up with his business just like he does. And I don't. But what I did was said, okay, so you got something starting tomorrow. I said, okay. So this coming Saturday, when you're having that buy one, get one half off sale, you'll know that this is working. He's like, how am I going to know? And I said, believe me, you'll know. What I did was I changed the offer on the bottom of the email so that it said, in order to get this unadvertised special, then you need to bring this and give it to Philip only. Hey. So they closed at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and at 7:15, he called me. And when I picked the phone up, he goes, hey. And I said, hey, Philip, how'd your sale go? And he goes, I stand corrected, man. Please don't do that to me again. He said, that was all I did all day long, was every time I would get settled into doing something, somebody would come back and say, there's somebody here to see you. So he was like, okay, you're worth it. I'm sorry. So there are a lot of little things that you can do like that. And if you get stuff like that or you get a client like that, I mean, feel free to email me or call me, and I can probably give you, you know, a solution like that that turns them around very quickly. A lot of times, too, certain clients, I'll look at their product, and I'll decide to make like a little PDF report about their particular product and the best way to use it. And I'll do all of that up front on my own time, and then I'll contact the business owner and say, hey, I got a proposal for you. And this is why they love hearing calls from me. Because I'll say, look, Terry, I wrote a report that I just emailed to you about your product and the best way to use it. Did a little research online. A lot of interesting information out there. So read that when you get time and get back to me. And I've got a system that will pay you the full amount of every other sale if you want me to offer this to your list for like 10 or 12 bucks, because I think they would buy it. Oh, really? What do I have to do? And I said, all you have to do is let me know your PayPal email address. And if you don't have PayPal yet, I can walk you through setting that up. And then I'll take care of everything else. So you send it out to a list of 3,000 of his customers that are already buying from him, telling them this is how you can best take advantage of it. You know, and I found this online. It's selling for 30 or 40 bucks here, but I'll just give you my personal insight on how this works for, 10 bucks. That sells like crazy. And you wake up in the morning, you know, and there's $1,700 or $1,800 in PayPal, you know, and you know that he's made that much too. And I do have a script that I bought, and my programmer charges me 50 bucks, and he can install it on any site that I want, which is all of them, and it totally automates everything that I do. So I can actually throw up a little site for this guy, for whatever client, and put the report on there, and when the people pay, it just flips back and forth. So pay me the first sale, pay him the second, every other one. And it's the full amount. So instead of splitting the percentages, it just pays them the full amount based on however many they're supposed to get. If it's 70%, then they get 7 out of 10 sales. Much easier. Pretty cool, though, huh?
Very cool. Wow. From a marketing standpoint, online marketing, I mean, you work in other people's lists that are fresh and targeted.
And plus,
right?
I never ever tell them this, but it introduces me to their list, which means I pick up tons of more business on the back end as well, because I tell them, you know, they're going to know you didn't write this. And he goes, yep. And I said, so I'm going to have to write an email, you know, that kind of tells them that I work with you or that I'm a friend of yours or something, however you want to put it, Terry. It doesn't matter to me. And he's like, yeah, just tell them. He said, shoot, just tell them you're my consultant. And I said, all right, I don't care. You know, so they're real open to that kind of stuff. That particular guy, the reason I use him as an example, was a sporting goods store, and his name was Terry Mark. He called me the next day, and he was like, 1,700 and some change in PayPal? And I said, yeah. I said, that's pretty cool, huh? I said, not bad for a night of sleeping. And he said, dude, you rock. And he goes, the best part about this is my wife don't even know I have this account. So to him, I guess that was more important than the money. But that's the type of relationship, you know, that you can build with these folks over time so that they really honestly do know you, like you, trust you. You become almost a part of their family. But the workshops are what started all. I've gone cold calling before. I've done individual businesses before. I've done B2B salespeople. I've done tons and tons of different stuff. But there's nothing out there that will ever, ever match what a workshop can produce.
You think that's what we should start with first?
You can actually start with B2B salespeople, that type thing, and that actually works pretty well. And there's actually two different ways you can do that. The first way is just straightforward, using the business-to-business on a cost per action. And the second way is a really sneaky way that also works really well. But you can put an ad in the paper, a local ad, and if you're going to use business-to-business salespeople, this is probably the way I would do it, is I don't hire them full-time unless I'm using them to promote my workshops. If they're promoting my workshops, then yes, I will put them on full-time as an independent contractor at 1099. And if you don't know, you can go to like OfficeMax or Office Depot or whatever, and you can get a whole pad of employment applications and 1099 forms for about 10 bucks a piece.
That's the end of part one. So get ready to take some notes, and let's get going.